And this last section is called the epilogue, and it is a tying up of many of the themes that have been expressed throughout the poem, especially in the tying up of the personal with the cosmic, so that we see how many of the things that were presented on a cosmic level in the first part of the poem work themselves out on a personal level at the end. So, Dharam Das became very happy in his heart. Tears came out of his heart, and overwhelmed he spoke these words. In my heart was darkness, which you removed by the lamp of grace. Remember, this refers to his final attempt to get something on behalf of Narayan Das, his son, who had turned against him and was following Kal. And Kabir, in effect, rebuked him very heavily. And this is what Dharam Das is now grateful for. Then, controlling himself, he said, O God, how could I praise you? Now, Master, listen to my request. Tell me how to discriminate among the souls. Which souls should I initiate? O competent one, tell me this, giving their signs. Signs of the jivas destined for Naam. The Satguru said, O Dharam Das, don't worry. Give the message of liberation to the souls. Those whom you find to be humble and devoted, tell them about the devotion of liberation. Dharam Das, give Naam initiation to him who has mercy, continence, and forgiveness within him. Tell him the message of Satpurush, to remain firm in the contemplation of Naam day and night. One on whom the grace is not showered, and who doesn't believe in Shabda, goes in the direction of Kal. Don't give them the sign of Satpurush, as such jivas bring loss to the path. The knowledge of the lotus body. And this section is often quoted in the treatises on yoga. And its purpose here is to tie in the entire, we may say the entire esoteric worldview altogether, although its position as sort of an appendix to the main poem indicates how unimportant this particular aspect of the teachings is as compared to the whole. Nonetheless, in it, Kabir shows that the lower chakras, the whole yoga systems, are not unconnected with the path, but rather are a different focus, I would say, a paying of attention to different things. Dharam Das said, O Lord, you have made my birth successful. Making me free from Yama, you have made me your own. Even if one had 1,000 tongues in his mouth, then also your qualities could not be described. O Lord, I am very fortunate. Who else is as fortunate as I am? Only that jiva in whose heart your Naam resides is the fortunate one. Now listen to my one request. Again, he certainly has a lot of one requests. I think I will go through and add up all the requests and put them. But remember that Dharam Das stands for all of us. And is that not the way we also? Well, Master, I have just one question. And it may be the 100th time we have said that to him. And tell me the description of this body. Which god lives where, and what work does he do? How many veins are there, and how much blood and hair? And by which roots do the breaths flow? Lord, tell me about the intestines, the bile, and the lungs. Lord, describe to me where these things are located, giving me the signs. How many petals are there in each lotus? And day and night, how many breaths come and go? From where does the Shabda emanate, and tell me, where does it go and merge? If any jiva gets the shimmering light, O Lord, tell me how to discriminate, which god's darshan he is having, and explain that place to me. The Satguru said, Dharam Das, hear now about the body, which is different from the Naam of Satpurush. In the first Mool Chakra is a four-petal lotus where Ganesha lives. He is called the giver of the quality of knowledge, and by doing contemplation and 600 japas, he may be experienced. The Mool Chakra, or the lowest of the six lower chakras, is in the rectum. That is its location. And the god is Ganesha, which means, insofar as I understand this, it means that Ganesha's function in the universe is expressed through, flows into the physical universe through that particular chakra in the body. Above the Mool Lotus is the Akar. I think it's Akshar. In actual fact, I think that's a typographical error here. And there is the Lotus of Six Petals. Brahma, Savitri, and the gods rule there, and 6,000 Ajapas sound there. That is the chakra located at the reproductive center, okay? And the god is Brahma and his consort Savitri. And Brahma, of course, is the god of creation. And here, Brahma has figured, obviously, in the first part of the poem as a character in his own right. And now we find that this, in the lower worlds, the function of creation is carried on through the reproductive center, which is a very logical procedure. In Nabhi, that's at the navel, is the eight-petal lotus. The Vishnu and Lakshmi are the main ones living there. Vishnu is the preserver, of course, and this is the location of the solar plexus. Going there, one gets the proof of 6,000 ajapas, and this place can be reached only by practicing the path of the masters. I do not understand that particular line, because, as far as I know, that's not true. But there may be a slight mistranslation, or there may be something, a word left out or something that I don't quite follow. This is a very important chakra. Vishnu, of course, is the god of preservation, and this is through the solar plexus and the stomach area and so forth that life is preserved. These lotuses, the way in which the energy flows through is pictured in Hindu mythology in each place as a lotus of so many petals. And it is said that in each lotus, in each petal, there is an equivalent of one of the letters of the Sanskrit language. And that if you add up all the petals in all the lotuses as described here, there are 52 of them. And that those are the letters that make the letters of the Sanskrit language. That is why that particular alphabet is called the Devanagari, which means the language of the gods, for this reason. Because it is supposed to be, you can find it within if you look for it. Above it is the 12-petal lotus. This is the throat chakra. And in that lotus, Shiva and Parvati reside. In there, the 6,000 ajapas happen. Witness this by the knowledge of the master. The jiva lives in the lotus of 16 petals, where 1,000 ajapas happen. Its place is between the two eyebrows, where the abode of king mind is. And this is, of course, the sixth chakra, which is the third eye. And sometimes people are upset to think that this is the abode of the mind, because after all, we are supposed to withdraw to this place, and we're not interested in becoming one with our mind. In fact, someone wrote me a letter just a little while ago, picked up on something that was in one of the discourses, where it is said that the mind is located here. But it's a fact that both the mind, it is also the abode of the soul too. And this is why the masters refer to this place as the knot, or the tying of the mind and the soul. It has to be untied at this place. And by withdrawing to this place and then going above it, we do that. The soul is ruled by the mind precisely because the mind is located here in one lump, so to speak, and the soul is diffused throughout the body and, in fact, throughout the universe, insofar as we have put our attention anywhere. O Dharamdas, pay attention. 1,000 ajapas happen there. Dharamdas, god of the souls, understand this. Above the two petals is the place of the void where the light is shimmering. Understand that as Narinjan. This is another interesting thing that sometimes people get upset over. That's the light that the master shows us. Now, why would that light be Narinjan? Well, the fact is that all of the lights and sounds from the first two planes, as well as the first two names, definitely refer to the lower order of the universe. And the point is not that it doesn't matter as long as they are connected up with the whole. In fact, till they are connected up with the whole, we can't make use of anything higher. We have to start where we are. As Wunda once said to Dorothy, it's always best to begin at the beginning. And the beginning in any given place is where we are. Therefore, the Master, by showing us the light and the sound that is within us at the lowest level, also explains to us how it is connected with the higher sound, and therefore taking us up the path of the lower sound, you might say, leads us to where it goes beyond the area of Kal and leaves him behind. Whereas if we get connected without his help, without the help of someone who goes above, and this is why we can go around and around in the three worlds forever, and still be putting our attention into the light and sound of the lower two planes, physical, astral, and causal planes. Of course, the sounds and lights coming from the lower chakras are from the physical plane, and that is manifest in the body as the left-hand sound. O Dharamdas, listen to the message of Shabda. I am giving you the teaching of knowing what is within. Again, listen about the body and have faith only in the one Nam. The yoga of true knowledge is the abode of happiness, from which one gets Nam and goes to the real home. The soul then becomes the liberated one after destroying the very mighty enemy. O Dharamdas, through the knowledge of the Master, understand the ways of the mind. Mind shows the light in the void, and mind itself creates different types of illusions. The Nirankar has been created by mind, O brother, and the creation of mind is spread throughout the three worlds. At many places the jiva bows his head. By not recognizing his own self, he is deceived. This is all in the will of Narinjan, and without the true Nam, his trap cannot be cut. As the organ grinder gives pain to the monkey by making him dance in different ways, in the same way the mind makes the jiva dance by making it firm in the deep trap of karmas and illusions. The true Shabda uproots the mind. Only the rare ones who know its secret recognize the mind. Receiving the message of Satpurush, the mind becomes jealous and takes the jiva in his direction. O Dharamdas, these are the ways of the mind. Recognize the mind and accept the feet, that is, the feet of the Master, implied. In this body no one else lives. Mind and soul alone live in this house. The mind is stuck in 5, 25, and 3. Those are the five elements. 25 prakritis, or the various ways, the sense organs, and the various ways in which they work, and the 3 gunas, or qualities. All these are slaves of Narinjan. When the essence of Satpurush comes in the jiva, he remembers the sign of his slaves have surrounded the jiva. Let me check that a second. I think there's an error there, because it doesn't make sense to me. Unless he recognizes them, the jiva also becomes the slave of Yama. As a parrot caught in a cage, being in the control of illusion, the jiva doesn't know himself. As the lion, seeing his reflection in the water, understands it as another, jumping into the water, he loses his life. In the same way, the soul is deceived and doesn't recognize himself. As the dogs barking in a palace of mirrors understand their reflection as other dogs. O brother, when they hear the echo, they again start barking. In this way, Yama has created deceptions for the souls. When Kal devours them, then they repent. Because they don't love the Shabda of the Satguru, they are destroyed. The fake Nam is a branch of Narinjan, and the original Nam is of the Satguru. The jivas do not love the feet of Satguru, but they can go back home only after meeting the Satguru. O Dharamdas, the jivas have become of others, and thinking that it is nectar, they are entangled in poison. Dharam Rai has created such varieties that being controlled by deception, the souls have forgotten. Listen to the spread of karmas created by the mind. A jiva will become the unique one, after recognizing this evil. him. O Dharam Das, recognizing him, one should become different from him, accepting the lamp of my Shabda. One who sees this difference will not be caught by Yama. As long as the guards sleep, the thieves easily do their work. In the same way, the souls are controlled by illusion, and the thief does his work. Couplet. By awakening, he gets the unique quality, having which Kal doesn't get him. Illusion is like a well full of darkness, in which Yamraj, through deceptions, devours the soul. There's one other point that I neglected to mention in connection with the names, the lights, and the sounds, the first two of each in the series of five. Those, of course, are not really of Kal, because they also are created by the Supreme Creator and are part of that light and sound and so forth. That is why they are connected, and if we follow them and have guidance so that we know what to do and how to do it, then we can follow that back to the source. The fact that Kal is at that level, the essence of his delusion, of course, as I said earlier on, is that he thinks that he is the creator. I will not get into a psychological analysis of Kal, but he knows that the true father exists. But somehow or other, he thinks, despite the fact that we have seen very clearly in the first part of the poem, that he did not know how to create, he needed help, he needed Ashtangi, he needed the seed, and all of that in order for him to even form that which he had already been given the essence of by the Father. It is his basic error, and those who follow him, is to assume that that light, sound, and so forth comes from him and is produced by him, and therefore has nothing to do with the higher manifestations. Sins and virtues of the mind. O brave one, listen to this element of mind, and with the help of the Guru, distinguish between the thief and the man of wealth. Mind is the horrible Kal, and remember that Kal, as far as we are concerned now, since the creation has happened, that Kal exists in the universe in the form of mind, just as God exists in the form of soul. Mind is the horrible Kal who makes the jivas dance and make their condition terrible. When a beautiful woman comes in his sight, the mind becomes excited, and lust troubles the body. Mind takes him there by its strength, and the knowledgeless jiva gets deceived. Making him involved in sexual pleasures with woman, the jiva takes the blame. In other words, the karma is borne by the conscious entity, the jiva. The mind doesn't really get any karma because there's nothing there to really get it if you come down far enough. So we suffer the consequences for that which the mind makes us do. Looking at others' wealth, mind becomes happy. I'll take it. And thus desire comes. When he takes others' wealth, the soul is blamed for that sin. This crazy mind develops this karma, and the innocent soul obeys its orders. Criticism of others and taking their wealth are traps of the mind. Becoming hostile to the saint and criticizing the master, these are the karmas created by the mind which puts the soul in the trap of Kal. Being a married man, he desires another woman. In this way, the mind sows the poison of deep karma. Mind makes the soul, in an excited state, kill others. He makes the soul suffer hell because of that sin. Deceiving the souls, the mind makes them serve gods and goddesses in pilgrimages and fasts. The mind itself introduces bad habits, and involving the jiva in them, he spoils it. He may have one birth as a king, and then he will go and suffer in hell. Or he may be incarnated as a bull who becomes the husband of many cows. Karma yoga is a trap of the mind. When one becomes without karma, only then his pain and sufferings go away. Him. O Dharam Das, listen to the qualities of mind. How long should I describe it to you? Three gods, 33 lesser gods, are in his trap. Sheshnag and other gods are defeated by him. Without the Satguru, nobody can understand the mind and will fall in his snare. Only the rare saint has recognized him through discrimination and has left him. Couplet. The fear of birth and death goes away with faith in the Satguru. O Dharamdas, one who accepts the true Nam firmly is the servant of Satpurush. The character of Narinjan. Listen, Dharamdas, to the character of Dharamrai, who has trapped the souls and deceived them. Again, he is addressing Dharamdas in his capacity as every man, speaking of that who is the lord of every man. Dharamdas, the slave of law. Dharamrai, the lord of law. Taking incarnations, he uttered the Gita and didn't let the blind souls across. Arjuna was his very devoted disciple to whom he gave all the wise knowledge. He gave him the knowledge of creating karma and becoming karmaless, and giving up the latter, he made him firm in the former. First, he told him about mercy and forgiveness, knowledge, signs of karma, and Arjuna became truly devoted in his worship of the Lord Krishna. First, Krishna created desire in him, and then he sent him to hell. Making him give up the Jnana Yoga, he made him firm in karma, and Arjuna, controlled by karma, suffered terribly. Showing him nectar, later he gave him poison. Disguised as a saint, he plundered the souls. This is, of course, based on a reading of the Bhagavad Gita, which does not really cut into its message. As he says, he gave him all the wise knowledge. It's not that the things that Krishna says in the Gita are necessarily incorrect, but that the way it relates to the Mahabharata as a whole and the effect of it on Arjuna and what Arjuna did on Krishna's advice and so forth, the whole thing then takes on a very different cast, which a lot of people have seen, not just Kabir and the masters, but there are some very doubtful points in the way in which Arjuna is treated by Krishna. Him. How long should I describe the deceptive intellect of Yama? Only rare souls will understand this. When one remains firm in the path of knowledge, only then will he teach the true path. Then he will know the deceptions of Yama, and he will leave them. Coming into the refuge of the Satguru, the fear of Yama will go away, and he will receive permanent happiness. Couplet. O Dharamdas, king of souls, and this, of course, here, slave of law, king of souls, are juxtaposed together, and this is the destiny of each one of us. Dharamdas is a master, but in his life up until very recently, he has not understood himself in this way, and he has seen himself and acted on the level of as any one of us who is a slave of law. O Dharamdas, king of souls, achieve the glory of the Satguru. Brighten the path. I have given you the immortal message. And we will continue next week. I think we should finish today, believe it or not. We are in the section called the epilogue, which is on the section called conclusion. So as you can see, we are nearing the end. There is another section called the end of the Granth at the very end. This is the signs of the path which gives liberation. This is roughly can be considered as an appendix. It is as though a number of matters which Kabir wanted to include but which did not fit into the main line of the conversation or the dialogue between Kabir and Dharamdas was relegated to the end here. Dharamdas said, O Lord, you are the gracious Satpurush, and your words are full of nectar and very dear to me. I have got the secret of the ways of the mind. Hail to you, O Satguru, who awakened me. Now, Lord, tell me about your ways, how the string of Yama will be broken. Yama, of course, is Kaal's name as the death god, meaning the lord of death. The Satguru said, Listen, Dharamdas, to the effect of Satpurush. Now I will make you recognize the string of Satpurush, that is, as juxtaposed to the string of Yama, which is going to be broken. When the power of Satpurush comes within, the butcher Kaal cannot stop it. Listen, Satpurush has 16 powers, and with those powers the soul goes to Satlok. And these powers, as you will see when they are read out, are the same as the 16 sons of Satpurush, which we read about in the beginning. These are the 16 aspects of the Absolute God, which he separated himself into before creation started. Without those powers, the Master's system cannot work. And without those powers, the soul gets stuck in the world. Knowledge, discrimination, truth, contentment, love, patience, and peace, mercy, forgiveness, continence, karmalessness, renunciation, yearning, and the maintenance of religion. Through pity, the soul gets liberation, and in his heart he counts everyone as his friend. By developing these, one can reside in Satlok, and by walking the path, one can see his home. One who serves the Master and has love for his feet resides in the heart of the Master and defeats Yama. Even in the Vedas and Shastras, the importance of worshipping the soul and meeting the saints has been written. One should do the devotion of the saints as the Master and control the qualities of attachment and anger. And here the primordial Master or Satguru figure, identified with Kabir himself, is differentiated from his successors. That is, one should follow the successors of Kabir as one did him. The Satnam of Satpurush is the tree of nectar, and by keeping the company of Satpurush's friend, one goes to the immovable plane. All these are the strings to get to Satpurush. Accepting the true Nam, one goes to Satlok. The blind one cannot go to his home. Of course, that means spiritually blind. These are the signs of the path. The Nam of the Satpurush is the eyes and authority, taking which the soul goes to its home. One's birth and death finish if, by having firm faith, one accepts the feet of the Master. The ways of the path. Dharamdas said, O Lord, you are the gracious Satpurush. Your words give me peace. O Lord, explain your path to me. How should the renunciates and householders live their lives? How should the renunciates live? And tell me the nature of the householder's way of living. The Satguru said, O Dharamdas, listen to the message of Shabda and give the teachings of liberation to the souls. Make the renunciates firm in renunciation and explain the way of doing devotion to the householders. The qualities of the detached renunciates, and this of course is aimed specifically at those seekers who come to Dharamdas in his capacity as Kabir's successor, who are already renunciates, that is to say sadhu in the exoteric or outer sense. And all masters, while not encouraging, in fact, in most cases positively prohibiting their disciples from becoming renunciates of this sort, have initiated them and do not make them stop being renunciates if they have already taken their vows. I have witnessed a number of Kripal Singh's disciples who were renunciates of this type. And Swamiji Maharaj, when he left the body, specifically made provisions for them as distinguished from the main body of his disciples too. I am telling you the nature of the renunciate. Only when he gives up inedible food, which has no part in nourishing the body, tobacco, meat, wine, can he become the Hansa. Love and devotion always remain in his heart, and he has no hostility or violence in him. He always has mercy for the souls, and in thought, word, and deed he does no violence. Always he keeps the sign of liberation, by which all the karma and illusions finish. He establishes the path, becoming the form of Hansa, and he wears earrings, a necklace, and he puts the tilak on his forehead. This, of course, are the sort of things that sadhus do. He eats plain and simple food and daily he repeats my Naam. If he takes your Naam also, then I will send him to the immortal plane. And here, Kabir is speaking to Dharam Das as his successor after Kabir has left the physical plane. He is providing for that. In other words, it's not enough. A sadhu renunciate may well believe in Kabir as a great saint and repeat his name in a very outer kind of way. But it is not enough for him to do that. He has to take also Naam from Dharam Das, that is, get initiated from him. Then he will be truly under the protection of Kabir. This is, of course, a very basic teaching of the masters. Giving up all karmas and illusions, he remains absorbed in the essential Shabda. He doesn't touch woman, he never loses semen, and from his heart he removes all anger and fraud. With one-pointed attention, he attaches himself to the Shabda of the Guru. He throws away all anger and fraud, and going in the Ganges of forgiveness, he bathes there. Very beautiful pun, almost. Instead of bathing in the Ganges, which people do, especially renunciates, oftentimes in India, he bathes in the Ganges of forgiveness. He is the abode of joy and meditation, and the ocean of happiness, love, and coolness. He never tests whether one is a king or a subject. By doing the meditation of the unrepeated, he removes the previous veils. One who remains unaffected and never flows into passions, such a renunciate gets me. Meeting me, he becomes like me and removes all duality. He remains absorbed at the feet of the master, giving up all illusion, fraud, and cleverness. One who always remains in the orders of the master, evil Kaal will not get him. He keeps firm faith in the master and understands him as me. He gets all fruit by serving the master. If one becomes antagonistic to the master, he will not cross. Qualities of the householders. Now, Dharam Das, listen to the devotion of the householders, doing which they do not fall in the snare. Some of these are the same as for the sadhus, obviously, but there are also differences. They throw away all the qualities of the crow, and in their heart remains mercy for all souls. They don't go near fish, meat, or wine. They always remain vegetarians. They drink the sign of liberation, so that Kaal doesn't come to stop them. They maintain love for the saints, and always serve the true devotees. They sacrifice everything for the service of the master. O brother, in thought, word, and deed, they become firm and do the simran which the master gives them. Him. Listen, Dharam Das, these are the strings of Satpurush by which the householders get liberation. Without eyes, one cannot go to his home. Then what else can be done? O Dharam Das, the essence of the incarnation is the eyes, which will awaken all the souls. If one trusts my words, I will finish his birth and death. Couplet. Those who accept the Shabda with faith, and those who repeat the Naam of Satpurush day and night, those who have got such Naam, triumph over the ocean. Hymn. O Dharam Das, I have told you the ways of living of both renunciates and householders. They will hear the Shabda if they live up to the ways of living. This ocean of the world is deep, that is the Bhuv Sagar, as opposed to the Anurag Sagar, or the ocean of love. This ocean of the world is deep, bottomless, and terrible. Those who firmly catch the boat of Naam come to the opposite shore. Couplet. Love the ferryman who takes us across. When one gets the Satguru as his ferryman, he crosses the ocean of the world. Consequences of carelessness. As long as the soul remains in the body, O brother, practice the path of Shabda. Just as the brave one remains in the battlefield, if he runs, he is defamed. The precious Shabda of the master is the battlefield, and Kaal gets those who waver from it. The soul who goes away from the master never survives. Falling in the fire pit, he will be burned. O brother, he gets many sufferings. Birth after birth, he goes into hell. He gets millions of births as a snake, and in bearing the fire of poison, he loses each birth. He is born in the dirt in the body of the worm, and for many births, he remains in hell. Passages like these strike us as being exaggerated, perhaps, but if we think about the realities of the situation of life in the universe, we realize this is only reflects that reality, that the percentage of human bodies available to the souls in the world is very tiny at any point. And most forms of life, they'd be a lot closer to worm and snake, for example, than they would be to human. And of course, hell does not necessarily refer to kind of hell we're used to thinking of in Christian or Jewish terminology, but rather to any state of existence in which we are separated from God. It could be any life form, or it could be hell in the traditional sense also. Of course, in no case is it permanent, and in every case other chances are given, but the point is if we throw away the chance that we are given, then it may be a while before we get another one. How much should I say about the pains which such souls get? Accept the Shabda of the Gurumukh and be firm in it. If the Master is gracious, Satpurush is also gracious. Kal cannot even touch those who remain firm in the Master. For the sake of the souls, I say, those who are the devotees of the Guru, they don't lose. Even if the Jiva performs millions of yogas, without the Satguru, he will lose. The Satguru shows the path to the unreachable, whose secret not even the Vedas reveal. The Vedas describe him who has created them. They do not know the secret of Satpurush, as we have seen in the earlier part of this poem, and as is well known. In Hindu tradition also, the Vedas are created by Brahma, who is the son of Kal, who has fallen, and they refer to the lower creation only. Any soul who is discriminating accepts the true Shabda. Out of millions, rare are the discriminating saints who accept my word. All others are trapped in Narinjan's snare, and those unfortunate ones do not invert and recognize the real home. Precaution. Example of the cuckoo. Listen to the nature of the baby cuckoo, and understanding its qualities, think about it. Cuckoo is clever and has a sweet voice, and her enemy is the crow, who is the mine of sins. She lays her egg in his nest and makes the evil one her friend. The crow nourishes it, thinking that it is her friend. The crow, who has the intellect of Kal, hatches that egg. Then the egg hatches and the fledgling comes out. After some days, its eyes open. When her body becomes strong, its mother comes to make it hear her voice. Hearing her voice, the baby awakens, since the voice of the cuckoo family is dear to her. When the crow goes to bring food, again the cuckoo makes it hear her voice. She awakens the baby cuckoo, which is her essence, and the qualities of the crow do not remain in its heart. One day, in front of the crow, the cuckoo makes her baby fly away. She makes it fly by singing with her voice, and the crow becomes restless and flies after them. He doesn't catch them, and getting tired after a while, he comes back home and goes to sleep. The baby cuckoo reunites with its family, and the crow becomes unconscious after engaging in fruitless work. Hymn. Singing with her own voice, the baby flew and met the family. Crow became restless and tired when he didn't get her. Crow came back to its nest, lost consciousness, and repented. The baby cuckoo met her father, but the crow remained engaged in fruitless works. Couplet. Like the baby cuckoo, the souls will meet me in this way. Those who get to the real home in this way, I will liberate their whole family. The qualities of the Hansa. Of course, Hansa, as we know from the beginning of the poem, is more or less of a swan. It's not exactly a swan because it has mythical attributes, but it's what the ancient Indian imagination has made of the swan, we might say. Or perhaps it reflects a being that either once existed or perhaps exists on higher planes. In any case, it looks like a swan. And the word is often used as a synonym for soul also, as with Paramhansa, which means great soul. O brother, one who gives up the intellect of the crow and takes up the qualities of the Hansa goes to Satlok. Nobody likes the voice of the crow, but hearing the voice of the cuckoo, everyone is happy. In the same way, the Hansa speaks words of love and truth and accepts the word of the guru as the nectar of love. He doesn't speak deceitful words to others and always remains serene. If anyone comes to him bringing the fire of anger, he himself extinguishes their heat after becoming water. The following are the signs of the knower and the ignorant one. The ignorant one is crooked, hard, and of bad intellect. The knower is cool, full of love, and within him reside truth, contentment, and discrimination. Qualities of the knower. Knower is a translation of the word jnani, or in Sanskrit gnani, which means knower of God, knower in a higher sense. He is the knower who removes the bad intellect and, recognizing the element of mind, forgets it. If one speaks harsh words after becoming a jnani, such a jnani is called an ignorant one. No matter if one seems to be brave, understand that only he is brave who goes in the battlefield and dies. The knower should see from the same perspective. I am telling you the signs. In the foolish heart, effort does not come, and Sar Shabda and Master are not understood. If a blind one steps in the mud, nobody laughs at him. But if one who has eyes steps into a bad place, he is blamed. Dharam Das, in this way, by the true Shabda and the remembrance of the Master, one should distinguish between knowledge and ignorance. He resides in everybody. At some places he is hidden, and at other places he is manifested. This is his sign, that he bows to all, understanding them as his essence, and he accepts Guru Bhakti. Him, how firm Prahlad remained in his devotion because of the color of love. Even though he was given terrible pain, he remained firm and accepted the qualities of the Lord. This, of course, refers to the story of Prahlad that the masters have often told. He was the son of the demon king, whose name I think was Hiranyagarbha, and he would not worship his father. His father demanded that he worship him as God, and Prahlad had a very great sense that he was not God, and that God was good and loving, and he insisted on worshiping him. And his father put him through many, many tortures, and he remained steadfast throughout. And at last his father told him to embrace a red-hot iron pillar. And Prahlad was afraid. It is said that he was afraid, but looking at it closely, although it was red-hot, he saw an ant crawling up it, and he knew that there was something more going on. So he embraced it, and the second he embraced it, it burst open, and the Hindu avatar Narsingh, in the form of a man and lion, stepped out and disposed of the demon king, because it had been prophesied that he would neither be destroyed by man or beast, nor inside nor outside, nor in day or night. Therefore he thought that he was immune. This kind of prophecy is a very recurrent thing in many stories. In any case, Narsingh was neither a man nor a beast, and he appeared just at twilight, when it was neither day nor night, and he destroyed him on the threshold of a house, neither inside nor outside. And Hiranyagarbha ended in that way. Also, Mahatma Gandhi, by the way, often referred to the story of Prahlad as one of his inspirations. Prahlad has often been used as an image of the qualities that a disciple should have. If one accepts the Satguru in this way, such a soul becomes precious. If he is steadfast, he will reside in the immortal plane. Description of Paramarth. Paramarth means the way of spirituality. Couplet. After giving up illusion and the snare of Yama, the death god, one should keep his attention in Satnam. Walking on the true path, he should keep his attention in Paramarth. The example of the Paramarthi cow. Understand the cow as the mind of Paramarth. O Jnani, recognize her ways and attributes. She herself eats the grass in the fields, and then, drinking water, gives milk. It nourishes the calves, and by her milk and ghee even the gods are satisfied. Even her dung is used by man. But man, by doing sinful karmas, loses his birth. When the time comes that the cow leaves her body, the demon men devour it. Her skin also gives so much happiness. O brother, so many good qualities are in the body of the cow. The qualities of the Paramarthi saint. If, like the cow, saints also accept this word, then cow cannot devour the jivas. If one has such qualities in the human body, and he meets the Satguru, he becomes immortal. Listen, Dharamdas, to this word of Paramarth. By doing Paramarth, nothing is lost. Paramarth is the support of the saint. One who gets this from the perfect master goes to the other shore. He gets the knowledge of the true Shabda, and by doing Paramarth, goes to Satlok. Forgetting himself, he does seva. If he remembers himself, he suffers a lot. A man is very clever, as he says, I have good qualities in karmas. He calls himself doer of good karmas, and for the bad karmas he says that Hari has done it, that is, God. Or maybe he means the negative power, could mean either in this sense. Of course, this is a very typical way of looking at things, that we praise ourselves and give credit to ourselves for all the good things that we do, and everything that comes bad from us we blame on something else. Or someone else, fate, or our karma. In this way, the good karmas end, and Dharamdas, by touching his feet, one gets only disappointment. One who keeps Nam as the only hope never shows and boasts of his good karma. He always keeps his attention at the feet of the master, as the fish never forgets the water. He always puts his attention in the Shabda of the master, and day and night he sings the praises of the true Nam. As the fish never forgets the water, in the same way, he accepts the Shabda. The effect of Satpurusha's Nam is such that the Hansa doesn't come into the world again. Definitely he goes to Satpurush. Dharamdas, it is like the nature of the turtle. Him. Souls will come running to their home, as is the nature of the baby turtles. The messengers of Yama will look at them, and, becoming weak, they will not go near them. Becoming fearless, the Hansas will go, reciting the Satnam. The Hansas will reunite with their family, and all the messengers of Yama will stand there helplessly. Couplet. The abode of happiness where the Hansas will live happily is precious. And all the Hansas, looking at the radiance of Satpurusha's form, will become happy. The end of Granth means, Granth, of course, means sacred book. By speaking the Anurag Sagar Granth, that is, the scripture of the ocean of love, I have explained to you the secret of the inaccessible. I have described the drama of Satpurusha and the deception of Kal. Only the connoisseurs will understand the ways of living and the word of discrimination. One who will accept the word after testing it will know the path to the inaccessible. The summary of the Granth. Having faith in Master's feet and becoming firm in the devotion of true Nam, one should act like a sant or a sati who burns her body for her husband. And this, of course, is a reference again to the exposition of this in the very beginning of the book, when we saw that the widow who has no wish to live except in her devotion to her husband is a type of the saint who has no wish to live except for God. So the two are coupled here, the sant and the sati. The Satguru is the undecaying and immortal husband who never destroys. I say this by the evidence of Shabda. One who accepts the immortal one becomes immortal. The soul who has hope from the saint goes to the immortal plane. O Dharamdas, awaken your mind and remain absorbed at the feet of the Satguru. Keep the mind, the honeybee, in the beautiful lotus feet of the master, and keep your attention at his feet. Only then will you reach your permanent home. The union of Surat and Shabda. Of course, this is the literal translation of this Surat Shabda Yoga. The union of Surat and Shabda. Surat is the expression of the soul, which is called attention, and Shabda is the expression of God, or the primordial Sankarat. Gets Shabda. He reaches the realm of the saints. It is the play of the drop and the ocean. What else can one say? The drop is Surat, the ocean Shabda, the play is the union. After meeting the Satguru, one understands the play of Shabda and Surat. It is the union of the drop and the ocean. What else can one say? Giving up the qualities of mind, one should follow the path of the Master. Such a soul goes to Satlok and derives happiness from the ocean of happiness. Understand the Jiva as the drop and the Nam of the Satguru as the ocean. Says Kabir with proof, Dharam Das, understand this. And that is the end of the Anurag Sagar, which we have been reading for many months.